You're listening to Marketplace. I'm Molly Wood, in for Kai Ryssdal. 20 years next Monday. That is the actual anniversary of the massive overhaul of the welfare system that was signed into law by President Bill Clinton. The 1996 law prioritized work over education and training, and that made it a lot harder for people on welfare to go to college. So how did work first work out? Marketplace's Amy Scott has the story of what happened to two women after welfare reform.
In 1995, Ilana Gamble was living in San Jose, California, divorced with three kids, when she found out her ex-husband was about to get out of prison. So she loaded her family onto a train and moved 3,000 miles across the country to rural La Plata, Maryland.
I had an aunt that owned an apartment building, so I was kind of like, got a place to live. So it worked out. It worked out really well that we came here.
Gamble has reddish blonde hair and clear green eyes. You can tell she has Irish roots. And now, at 53, she can say it all worked out. But back then, she knew her savings wouldn't last long with three little kids. So while she looked for jobs,
I had to go seek help.
Help came in the form of welfare. She got about $400 a month in cash assistance, plus food stamps and a small housing stipend. Eventually, she picked up some weekend shifts, bartending at her aunt's restaurant, and they got by.
Barely, yeah. It wasn't unheard of for me to have to write my mom a check when it came time for taxes, because I would have been borrowing throughout the year, sometimes my mom and my aunt. You know, that's pretty much how I made ends meet.
Gamble didn't like working in a bar, and she wanted a better life, so she signed up for business classes at Charles County Community College, and she did well.
In fact, it's crazy because I was a terrible student in high school. I mean, I'm talking terrible with a capital T.
But in college, at age 33, she was getting straight A's and was on her way to an associate's degree.
I knew I could get the degree, and I probably would have went on then to get a bachelor's because it was so easy, you know, unfortunately. Didn't work out that way.
Partway through her third semester in early 1997, she got a letter from the welfare office. The law had just changed, and to qualify for cash assistance, she would need to spend more time every week in a sanctioned work activity. Gamble says she was told her school hours would not count.
Well, I couldn't go to school and work and go to their work program. There was just no way out of it, so one had to go, and I had to obviously leave school to continue working to support my three children.
She finished the semester and dropped out. It's hard to say how many students like Ilana Gamble left college. Before welfare reform, close to 700,000 people on welfare applied for federal student aid. And just a few years later, that number had dropped by almost half.
The caveat here is there's lots of other things changing at the same time when welfare reform hits.
Leslie Turner is an economist at the University of Maryland. She says in the late 90s, the economy was booming and a tax credit for low-income workers had grown.
All of these things may also serve to push women both out of college and off cash assistance because jobs are plentiful.
Still, she says there's no question welfare reform made it much harder to go to college while receiving benefits. But there were exceptions. And a few hours' drive from where Ilana Gamble's college education ended, a different story played out in Baltimore.
Where's your student profile? Where's your test scores?
Oh, I bought that one.
Okay, we need that.
That's Patricia Edwards, giving an orientation to new students taking developmental or remedial classes at Baltimore City Community College. These classes can be pretty discouraging, so she runs a support program to help students stick with it.
First of all, I'm honored to serve you in this capacity, okay? Because I started out at Baltimore City Community College in developmental education, okay? So we know what's possible, right?
Edwards is tall with a shaved head. She's wearing long feather earrings. She's 49 now and works as coordinator for academic services at the college. But in the fall of 1998, she was a single mom raising four sons on welfare. By then, the law had changed, but Baltimore City Community College was starting a two-year pilot program. It allowed about 200 students receiving cash welfare to count their school time as work, exactly what Ilana Gamble in La Plata hadn't been able to do. That made it possible for Edwards to enroll full-time and support her boys. They supported her, too.
I used to get them to read my books to me while I was, like, ironing or washing or cooking or whatever I might have been doing. They would read the book. They were kind of good at that.
The pilot program was extended, and Edwards ultimately earned 2 associate's degrees in public policy and general studies. She then went on to get a bachelor's degree and got off welfare. Now she's working on a master's and making a good living helping struggling students succeed.
Which is why I love my job so much, because now I can give back what was so freely given to me.
In her office on campus, the walls are decorated with cards and letters from students she's helped. In a framed photo, she's surrounded by 4 young men, smiling in tuxedos, her grown sons at a family wedding.
I like to have inviting things in my office for people to ask about, rather than a bunch of degrees. Because I feel like degrees are intimidating for people who have done a lot of things to mess it up. And it makes you hesitant to ask for the help.
It would be great to say that things worked out so well for everyone in Patricia's group. The University of Maryland School of Social Work studied the pilot program at BCCC. Research Director Letitia Passarella says compared to a similar group of welfare recipients that didn't go to college, those in the pilot were not significantly more likely to be employed or to stay off welfare 2 years later. But they did earn higher wages.
What would have been much more useful is to do some more longer-term follow-up, because much of the research has indicated that the benefits of an education are actually delayed.
But Passarella also studies what happens to people in Maryland overall after they leave welfare, mostly without education and training. Most of them work, but in low-paying industries without benefits or opportunities to move up. In one analysis, only 9% of welfare leavers saw any growth in earnings 5 years later.
That's the important point, because it contradicts the idea that a client can go out and get a job, any job, and then they will experience earnings growth because they gain skills. It seems that that is pretty rare amongst clients who leave welfare.
And that brings us back to Ilana Gamble, who you'll remember dropped out of college after welfare reform. She eventually got a full-time job bartending and got off welfare. She's remarried and still lives in La Plata, and today manages a banquet facility for the Navy.
It's hard to do when there's sun in your eyes.
It's a government job with benefits, but she's making under $40,000 a year, less than she made bartending, and less than she'd make doing the same job with a college degree. She never went back to college, though she's thought about it.
I have many times, but it just never was feasible anymore. Just financially, I couldn't do it.
She's not bitter about what happened.
I mean, I get it. I totally get that they want to get people off welfare. And essentially, it worked for me because it forced me off of it. But it forced me into a situation where I couldn't go very far.
And she wonders how far she could have gone with a college degree. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Hear more about how welfare reform changed access to education in our Uncertain Hour podcast from the Wealth and Poverty team. The entire first season is now available wherever you get your podcasts.